God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We ask that you would move among us, that you would open us up to your presence, to your word, and Lord, that we might hear it and live it. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
This will be a shock to you. I would like to start the sermon this morning with a joke. Now, I generally would not start a sermon on Sunday of Trinity, because in the Roman Catholic Church, this is the day, this is a solemnity of the Holy Spirit. Great solemn and seriousness in their occasion. And out of respect for them, if I were there, I would not do this, but since I'm not there. And I promise you, the joke actually fits. I'm not just telling you a joke to be funny. And you may have heard this joke before. It's been told many people. I think I've heard it at least three different ways, different popes. But I'm using Pope Gregory. Now, let's pick a good one. Gregory the Great is remembered as a great theologian in the church, especially his moral theology. And he's remembered, especially in the church, for the music that bears his name, Gregorian chant, which I happen to love. Hope you do. And he was Pope from 590 to 604. And he is remembered also for his great mission work. He sent Augustine of Canterbury. And he went to England in 597, taking several months with him, and that was a turning point for Christianity in England. But in this joke, while we know all those things, we will remember him because he was also, unbeknownst to many, a great mind. He was. He liked to conduct theological debates and disputations in mind. And the reason for that was it made people think more deeply. And there were many Christians at this time, and I do want to make it clear that before I say this, no pope ever drove the Jews out of Rome. But there were Christians during his reign who were asking him to do that. Drive them out of Rome, that Rome might be purely Christian. So to appease these people, Gregory said, I will have a debate with the leading rabbi in Rome on St. Peter's Square in mind. And we will see whether or not their theology is good enough for them to stay amongst Christians. And the day came, and Gregory showed up with his entourage, and the Pope showed up with his, and they began. Pope Gregory began by doing this. And the rabbi looked at him and did this. Then Gregory looked and he held up three fingers. And the rabbi held up one finger. So then after a few minutes of thought, Gregory held up a chalice and patent for everyone to see. And then the rabbi, thinking for a moment, reached down, picked up an apple, and held it up. And Gregory was impressed. He said, their theology is good. They can stay. And so Gregory walked back to his people and they said, what happened? And he said, well, it's clear to see. I said, God rules in the heavens. And the rabbi responded with, yes, but God is among us. And I said, our God is a Trinity. said, but God is one. And then I held up the chalice and paten to show the means of salvation, and he held up the apple to represent the fall. They can stay. But then the rabbi walked back to his entourage and they said, what happened? He said, I have no earthly idea. He said, best I can figure, he said, get out of town. And I said, not one of us is leaving. And then he said, I'm giving you 3 days. And he said, not one will leave. And then he held up his lunch. I held up mine. Now, yeah, that's funny. But I'm sharing that because the truth in it, our God is a Trinity. Yet God is one. As we say when we say the Shema here, the Lord is one. The Lord our God is one. Now this past week, I had the opportunity, a privilege really. I had a patient who was Jewish in hospice, and he was one of those patients who's non-responsive. He cannot communicate or could not. And his family was not coming to visit anymore, and they made that clear. And there was no rabbi who was going to come. So for 3 days, I went into his room, and I read Jewish prayers that they pray for those who are dying. And one of the things that impressed him, I've not read those prayers before. They're beautiful prayers. Especially the way they talk about the oneness of God. The oneness of God, as is reflected in the Shema, which I also said every time I went into the room. But there is a prayer, Adon Olam. And I'm going to read you the first part of that prayer. Lord of the universe, who reigned before anything was created, at the time when by his will all things were made, then was his name proclaimed king. And after all things shall cease to be, the awesome one will reign alone. He was, he is, and he shall be in glory. He is one, and there is no other to compare with him. God is one. And yet God has been revealed to us as a Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And I was joking this morning when we gathered for prayer. I said, I'm going to explain the Holy Trinity today. That we'll certainly want to record that. Anytime someone tries to explain the Holy Trinity, especially when we use analogies, and that's all we can do because we're human, all of the analogies will have us adrift into one heresy or another. But they do help us understand. But we can stay here all day and all night and keep doing that all day and all night until we're called home, and I will not be able to explain the Trinity to you. Nor will you be able to understand it, nor would I be able to understand it. It is beyond human comprehension. It is a mystery of the faith. And I read this in the Roman Catholic Catechism this week. And I love the way this reads. The mystery of the Holy Trinity is the central mystery of the Christian faith and of Christian life. God alone can make it known to us by revealing himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's the central mystery upon which all the other mysteries rest. And this mystery is more than the doctrine of the church. It's an essential dogma of the church. We must believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in order to be Christian. That's why when the Christians gathered at Nicene to give to Constantine a definitive definition of what it means to be Christian, what did they write? The Nicene Creed. And the structure of it is, I believe in God the Father, I believe in God the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Those are essential, not an optional. It's essential. But when I say it's essential, I don't mean that. And the good news for today is believe this or burn. Everybody went out so happy, feeling close to God. The good news of the Trinity is found in the relationship within the Trinity, the relationship within the Godhead. God exists in an eternal relationship. And we always joke, this is the sermon about relationship. This is the sermon about relationship. Now, I can't explain the relationship to you, but I did some, I didn't have any homework this week. It was really good. I got to read things. And I read On the Trinity. Don't wait for the movie. On the Trinity was written by St. Augustine of Hippo. And in this work, St. Augustine talked about the various analogies that we use, that were used in his day, and his were just as lame as ours. Think of the ones that you know. And they help, sort of. And if you have a bunch of them, it helps maybe more. But none of them are quite right. There's not going to be an analogy where you go, that's it. That explains it clearly. It's just not going to happen. But Augustine came across an analogy when he was reading the letters of John, 1 John specifically, where God is defined. God is love. Pretty good definition. God is love. And Augustine said, in order for there to be love, there must be a lover and the beloved. If God is love, then he says, God is the lover. And the Son is obviously the beloved, since that's what the Father calls him at his baptism and at the Transfiguration. There's two of the three in this relationship of love. But love itself that moves between them is the third. That is, he said, the Holy Spirit. That was his analogy, that love is the relationship, and that's how we can speak of God that way, that God is love because of he is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and without him being a triune God, you cannot define him as love. The love that flows is the Holy Spirit. And so the relationship within the Trinity, and Augustine knew as he's saying this, this isn't going to fully explain it. But it is defined, that relationship is defined by love. The relationship within God is love and God is love. But wait, it's better. In the upper room, when Jesus was speaking words of comfort for his disciples because he told them he was going away, and you'll find this in the high priestly prayer and the farewell discourses from chapter 14 to chapter 17. Wouldn't take you long to read them. And in that conversation with the disciples, he told them more than once that he was going to send to them this gift of the Holy Spirit. And he said, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them. And we will come to them and make our home with them. The Father and the Son will come and make their home with us. How? Well, it's in the middle of the teachings of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, this will be done. He will tabernacle with us. He will be with us. They will be with us. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will be with us. And this is Emmanuel in the greatest and fullest sense of the word. God, our triune God, will be with us. In 1 John 4:16, we know and trust the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in them. We are invited to participate in this love relationship. We're invited into the Godhead, that the love of God is going to flow into us and into the world. Paul said the Holy Spirit is poured into the world through us. The Holy Trinity is poured into the world through us. And we are called to relationship. We're called to a relationship with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's how we know Him. He'll reveal Himself to us in the relationship. But we're also called into relationship with one another in this same love. Because we are to be one. That's what Jesus prayed, that we would be one as He and the Father are one. That's a pretty tight relationship. But that's our call, to love one another as Christ has loved us. If we back up to the very beginning, to creation, in whose image are we created? We're created in the image of God. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's that relationship. We're created to be like that same relationship. That's the image in which we are created. I don't anymore, but I used to wonder, who's God talking to in creation? When He says, let us make man in our image. Of course, when we talk to ourselves, people think there's something wrong with us. But that conversation within Himself, within God, that's our model. And the interesting thing is, in all human life, we become who we are through relationships. There's an African word in the philosophy of life, and I know this because my instructor in my CPE is African. There's a Swahili word, and maybe you know it, Ubuntu. You ever heard of Ubuntu? It's not just a word, it's almost a philosophy. It translates, I am because we are. I am because we are. It celebrates the connectedness. The church needs to co-opt this word. I am because we are. And when I am because God is. Because that relationship, I'm invited into it. And I'm invited not just to come into it, but I'm invited to share it with the world. Share it with others. There's a connectedness that human beings need. And I said, several times a week, I run into people who will tell me, and I bet you've heard this phrase, I'm not religious, but I am spiritual. I'm not religious, but I am spiritual. And so then it's patient. I'll invite them to share that with me. Oh, share your spirituality with me. Well, how does that work for you? And basically what they're saying is they don't want to go to church. They don't want to belong to a group. They don't. And it comes down to, I have a personal relationship with Jesus, and what goes on between us. I do pray, and I do read scripture, but it's just me and Jesus. It's all I need, just me and Jesus. And that spirituality sounds lonely to me. It sounds, and I mean this in the most judgmental way, it sounds hollow, and it sounds devoid of love. Where's the love there? Just me and Jesus. I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. That's all I need. And I like to share with them, especially if it's a guy, I'll say, hey, do you ever cook out? You got all the coals there. They're all burning. But what happens if you reach in with the tongs and grab one of them and set it off to the side? What happens to that one? Fire goes out. We need each other. If we're going to be the light of the world, we're going to have to burn together. It happens in community. God happens in community. The church happens in community. And it's in love. The love relationship. It's beyond all understanding. It's beyond anything we could possibly ever explain. But wow, we're invited into it. The God of the universe invites us into that love relationship. And he allows us to invite others. My granddaughter had a birthday yesterday, and there were 12 little girls who were invited to it. And they were having fun. I'd have given anything to have been somewhere else. I was in charge of the geocracking outside. But some of them came and brought friends. It was unexpected. They all worked out fine. And there was plenty for everybody and plenty of things to do. But in that sense, we're invited, but we are empowered to invite. And we can do that not by being great preachers or teachers, but just telling them about the love we've experienced, and it's available for them. It's that simple. I have experienced a love relationship that's beyond anything you can too. we're called into the relationship with the lover and the love, the beloved, and love itself. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.